bad, but they're not happy about it, and they want meat. So he says, "Okay, I'm going to get you some meat," you know. And Moses tells him, he says, I don't know how God's going to give us all this meat. I mean, how's he going to do that? He says, it would take all of our herds and our flocks to feed this bunch. It would take all the fish in the sea. And this was God's response. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? No. Numbers 11:23. So don't worry about how God's going to do it. Don't worry about, that's not your job. Your job is belief. We were singing this song and it says, time is in his hands. Do you remember Pastor Ricky was talking about that time that you know, time is this way, right? Yeah. We've got linear time, but faith is outside of that. Yes. Remember that? That has stuck with me. So time doesn't matter to God. He's outside of time. And our faith is outside of time as well. So don't worry about, oh, it's going to take a long time for this to happen. How is God going to do that? My wife and I've got things we're believing for, and I catch myself, well, how is he going to do that? And this scripture comes back, has the Lord's arm waxed short? And that what that means is he unable to do it? Is he not able to do whatever it is you need? So when you're giving your offering, when you're tithing, remember that now you have the God of the universe that is on your side, and he's going to take care of you financially. Many, many scriptures. So there are three ways that you can give. For your convenience, there's an envelope in the seat back in front of you. So you can put your offering there, cash, check. If you do write a check, please make it out to Bullhead City Four Square Church. You can also go to our website. It's Spirit Life AZ, and that's all one word, spiritlifeaz.org, and click on the giving icon. Or you can use your phone, and the QR code is there, and that takes you directly to our giving portal. And follow the steps. It's very easy, it's very clear, and you can set it all up. So don't be afraid to give to God and then request that blessing, and don't be worried that he cannot handle it, because he can. Amen. All right, shall we pray? Ushers, you may serve the people.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this thing's blinking. Is that all right? It's supposed to blink? It is. All right. Well, we are working then. Outstanding. Good to see all of y'all this morning.
Amen.
Amen. How many of y'all are excited to be here? Good. You and me both. Well, we'll pray. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and magnify your holy name. And we thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers, to be able to feed our faith on your word, Father God. I thank you. We didn't come here to hear what I have to say, but what you would have to teach us from your word. And I thank you, Father God, everything you teach us is biblical, because you only speak to us from your word. And I thank you, Father God, that we will receive this morning everything that you would have, not only for this congregation, but also myself. And we thank you for it in advance. Everybody agreed, said, amen. Turn over, please, Romans 8:14. We're still talking about the thriving and famine.
Amen.
I just can't get off of it yet. Amen. Y'all remember I said this, Abraham obeyed and moved, right?
Yes.
And then Isaac, he obeyed and sowed,
yes.
Right? And then Joseph obeyed using the wisdom of God and prepared, right?
Amen.
So Romans 8:14, here it is. It says, for as many as are what? If you, I'd highlight that, circle it, do whatever. If you got a Bible you can't write in, I'd throw it away and get one you can write in. Amen. For as many as are led by the what? They are what? These sons of God. So that lets us know right there, if I'm being led by the Spirit of God, I'm a what?
Son of God.
Amen. John 16:13, please. You can pull that up in the NLT.
Yeah.
John 16:13 NLT, it says, when the Spirit of truth, what?
Comes.
What's he going to do?
Guide.
Has he already come?
Yes.
Has he already come?
Yes.
Yeah, he came back in Acts, remember?
Yes.
Amen. Right? Amen. So he's here already. So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will what?
Guide.
Into what?
All.
Not into the theory of man.
Right.
Not to what other people think,
yes.
Not to whatever people, and a lot of times people will talk about what they've experienced, and then they kind of teach the Bible off of their experience. That's the wrong way to teach.
Yes.
Amen. Teach from the Word of God, right?
Yes.
Doesn't matter what you experience, right? Amen.
Amen.
He will not speak on his what?
Own,
but he will tell you what he's what?
Heard.
And then he will tell you about what?
Future.
The future. Obviously, will he tell you everything?
No,
he won't. He will show you a glimpse or let you know things that'll come ahead of time. That way you're prepared for it.
Yes.
Right? That way you're ready for it in advance.
Yes.
Because are we, look, we are in the world, but we shouldn't be acting like everybody else.
Amen.
That's the key. So how do people differentiate us from the world?
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, if I'm acting and worried and confused and don't know what to do like everybody else, why would somebody want to come over into the kingdom of God if we're having the same problems they're having?
Yes.
Now, don't get me wrong. We will have some of the same problems they're having, but we shouldn't look exactly the same as they do when we're having them. Right? We should be different.
Yes.
And so if we know things to come, so like when the whole toilet paper incident hit, we shouldn't have been running to the store to buy toilet paper.
Right. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Because if we live on in another kingdom, if we operate on another level than everybody else, we shouldn't have to worry like everybody else going through life. That's the key of a born-again believer. We shouldn't look like everybody else going through life, not knowing what's going to happen, whatever will be, all that kind of stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Should have heard a better amen than that. Amen. All right. So he will tell us about our what? Our future, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let me skip through here. Y'all remember where we left off last time? I don't. Good. Nobody. Isaiah 1. Oh, good call. Yes, ma'am. Yes, it was Isaiah 119. Where is Isaiah 119 in my notes? I'll find it. Give me a minute. In theory. Okay, well, apparently that's not in my notes, so we're going to go to something else. That was, go over to Genesis 26. We'll start there. Oh, yeah, there it is. I see it now. We're back. And we're back. Nobody panic. I seen your faces. We're all right. Genesis 26. Okay. Anybody else hot? Look, I'm sweating, okay? I'm just going to take this off because I'm really sweating at this point. And, well, I don't want to be soaking wet. Are y'all hot or y'all cold? I'm just curious. You're good? Son, it's hotter than a 45 in here after a gunfight. All right. Genesis 26, verse 12. Can you pull that up in the New King James, please? And then we'll go to the NLT and then the Amplified. Then Isaac what?
Sowed.
In that land and what?
Reaped in the
same year. What he reaped? And the Lord did what?
Blessed him.
Right? Is this the same land that his dad was in? But what did God tell his dad? If you wasn't here a couple Sundays or last Sunday, try to listen to it because we talked about his dad. Amen. His dad, God told him to go down to Egypt, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Correct. And then God told Isaac to do what?
Stay
where he was at. And that's where Abraham was whenever God told him, go down to Egypt.
Yes.
Right? Because you got to be led.
Yes.
That's why we read Romans 8:13 and then John 16. Whatever it was a second ago,
right?
That's why we read that, because we all got to be led, because Isaac could have been like, well, it worked for my dad. Why can't I just go to Egypt?
Right.
Well, what did God tell you?
Yes.
What did he tell you to do? What are you, What are you led by? And we're led by peace. Remember we read that over in Colossians 1:13, I believe it was. Peace, right? So that's why he was like, well, God, what do I need to do? God said, well, stay here in the famine. Yeah. Interesting that God told him to stay in the famine. Yes. Yes. Where there was lack. Yes. Right? Because yes. Famine is what? It's lack. It is lack. Yes. Correct? Yes. And God told him to stay there. See, we're blessed to be a blessing. And so when the world is upside down, we should be just steadily climbing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Isaac did.
Yes, sir.
And if it worked for Isaac, why won't it work for me?
Right.
Amen.
Now, I do have my part to play on being led, on doing what God asked me to do. And if I'm doing that, then I should be steadily climbing regardless of what the economy and everybody else is doing. Now, I've told y'all before, you know, whenever I first moved here to Bullhead, it was me, Chelsea, and the three girls. I made $12,000 the first year.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And then the second year, I think I made $15,000. And then the third year wasn't much after that, but we've been steadily climbing ever since. We didn't stay there and just go, well, I guess this is just how we have to live. No, I got tired of living just, this is how we got to live.
Amen.
I got tired of living like that.
Amen.
Not having enough, not knowing if I'm going to be able to eat.
Right.
I like food.
Amen.
I enjoy food.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I'm not just talking about something that I have I've heard of or something. I've seen something that I've actually got to experience.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not talking to you about my experience. I'm talking to you from the word, but I'm telling you about my experience. I was broke the first few years I was here, and we didn't know how rent was coming, electric, water, because you got all those deals, and then you got kids that are growing like just wild. And so now you got to look at buying clothes. You got to have insurance on the cars, on the house. You got to have insurance on the kids, obviously, right? And all that. And then you got to be paying for gas. Amen. Because number one, I like AC, especially here in summer. AC is my best friend. Amen. So then Isaac sold in that land and he reaped in the same year what? Would he have reaped 100-fold in Egypt? Why not? See, where is God telling you to sow? A lot of times we just sow because we want to, but be led by it. Be led, and then see what your harvest looks like from being led. It makes a huge difference. Next, please.
Yes, sir.
13.
Yes,
now. Yeah, I got it. The man began to prosper. And did what?
Continued prospering.
Until what?
He became very prosperous.
That's very interesting. It said that he began to prosper and continued to prosper until he became very what? A lot of times we want to go from making nothing to being a millionaire. Did Isaac?
No.
Right there to let you know he didn't.
Right.
Because it said he began to prosper. And then he continued to prosper. And then what happened? He became what? Very prosperous. Amen. And so it's a process because we got to go day by day by day by day. Because I know you've seen some of the people that's won lottery, you know, and they'll win like millions of dollars and all that. And then you'll hear about them a few years down the road and they've lost everything in their house.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times people think money's going to help them live better.
Right.
It ain't. Not if you ain't established in the word of God, it ain't going to do nothing for you.
That's right. Amen.
Because lack will eat it up.
Yes.
Lack will eat up prosperity for somebody that doesn't know how the word of God works.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But somebody that knows how to work the word will continually grow and continue to prosper and be very prosperous. I was listening to another minister the other day. They've got over 20,000 Jews out of Ukraine now,
yeah,
and been able to take them back to Israel.
Amen.
But yet people want to talk about, well, that he's just out for your money. Y'all are crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that's somebody's attitude, they need to keep their money.
Yeah. Amen.
If that's somebody's attitude toward the kingdom of God, then they should keep their money until they figure out what the word of God says, right?
Amen.
And so they've been able to get 20. And then whenever, I think it was Afghanistan hit, they actually flew their own private plane over there whenever government and things wouldn't do it. They flew their own private plane over there and got thousands and thousands of people out. It makes a difference when you start looking at stuff different. Right. And then turn over to, where is it? Romans 8, 13, I believe it is. Will you pull that up?
Yes.
Thank you. You're so awesome. Romans 13, 8. I said it backwards. You can pull it up in the King James. It's fine. Romans 8, 13. For if you live... That's the wrong one. Yep, there we are. All right. Oh, no man what? Anything but to love what? One another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law, right? We've all heard about, you know, owe no man anything. And then we've heard like, well, it doesn't mean owe no man anything because, you know, you got to pay your electric. You got to pay your gas. You know, we've all heard that. And I was listening to a minister the other day, and he said that they have their own power company on that school, on their church lot. Yeah. They have their own power company on that church land. And so that made me think. That really got me from thinking here to thinking out here. So if you own your own electric company, if you own your own gas company, then you won't owe no man anything. See, that's a whole nother way of thinking about stuff. See, if we're constantly thinking here and we can't get out here, then we're just going to stay here. Then we'll be doing like the Israelites did, where it talks about in Psalms 98, they limited the Holy One of what? Israel by small thinking. Small thinking, always going, well, we ain't got this. Well, we ain't got that. Well, Moses hit a rock and watered everybody. Yes. Millions and millions of people, and then all their animals. Yes. Yes. And then quail came in. If you read over in Numbers, like Steve was talking about in the message, it says that the quail came in waist deep.
Yes. Amen.
You know how many quail that is for millions of people?
Yeah.
Waist deep?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go back to, do the NLT, please, in Genesis 26. I think we're going to be on this for a while because we ain't through this page yet. Amen. It's still good.
Yes, sir. Very good.
Genesis 26, 12 through 14. We'll do the NLT this time. Thank you. When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he had what? Amen. That's a good year.
Yes, sir.
That's a good year whenever you harvest more than what you planted.
Yeah.
For the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth what?
Continued to grow.
You know, you know how you can stop that continued to grow? Stingy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. I'm going to talk to y'all over here because they just don't want to talk. You know, mess up. Amen. So he became a very rich man, and his wealth what?
Continued to grow.
Yep.
Amen. Next, please. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and servants that the Philistines became what?
Jealous.
See, somebody's always going to be upset about your prosperity. Somebody's always going to be jealous of it.
Yes.
Amen. You know we're going to be persecuted for prosperity,
yes,
right? I mean, we've heard it. You can listen to people talking about other ministers. People got YouTube pages dedicated to talking about other ministers.
Right.
That's the wrong place to be.
Yes, sir.
Because if we took care of ourselves as much as we studied somebody else, we'd be perfect.
Yes, sir.
Should have heard a better amen than that. So he acquired so many flocks, and then the Philistines became jealous, right? Amen. Pull that up in the Amplified, please. Then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year what? 100 times as much as he had planted. And the Lord favored him with what?
Blessings.
And the man became great and gained more and more. Amen. until he became very wealthy and what?
Distinguished.
Where did I write that? Distinguished means very successful, authoritative, and commanding great respect.
Yes.
Distinguished means very successful, authoritative, and commanding great respect. And that's just in the Webster. If you look it up in the Noah Webster, the 1824 or whatever it is, it means separated or known by a mark of difference.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
It also means separated from others by superior or extraordinary qualities.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he was distinguished. He was separated. He wasn't like everybody else. That's why the Philistines became jealous of him. Because they were looking at their houses, and then they was looking at Isaac's house going, how? I'm a king. Why do you have better stuff than I do? I'm a king. How are you in overflow, and I'm living in lack, having to borrow stuff from you? All right, we go back to this side. Amen. So it makes a huge difference.
Yes, sir.
Makes a huge difference, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So he became distinguished. Next, please. He owned flocks, herds, and a great supply of servants. And the Philistines, what?
Envied
him. Amen. In the NLT, we saw where it talked about he continued to grow, right? He grew in capacity to receive more and to distribute more.
Yes, sir.
Because there was a famine in the land,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Was he letting everybody else starve, probably?
No.
Was he just hoarding everything to himself?
No.
What was he doing then?
Sowing.
He was sowing and helping everybody else, yes, that didn't have nothing.
Yep.
See, you can't grow in prosperity and be stingy. You can't.
Amen.
God doesn't operate like that. He didn't assume because it worked for his dad that it worked for him and he went down to Egypt, right?
Amen.
He was led.
Yes.
In a normal year in Gerar, that's where he stayed, the normal return on a harvest was 25%.
Wow. Amen.
What did he receive? He received 100% on his harvest, right? On what he was planting and everything. But in normal years, it was 25%. So we're in a famine year now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
And it jumped from 25 to 100.
Yes.
Well, it actually jumped from 0 to 100.
Yes.
But normal years, it's only 25%. See, if we limit the Holy One of Israel, if we continue to think small, well, I don't know if God's able to do this. How do you know?
Yeah. Come on.
Are we saying that based off of our past experience? Are we saying that based off what somebody else has told me? Because I need to get in the Word and find out what the Word of God says.
Amen.
For myself, not for you. I need to know what the Word says to me, not from somebody else.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
And so Isaac, he was able to sow in famine and reap 100%, but in that land, the yield would only be 25%. But yet in a time of lack, a time of not enough, a time of starvation, God said, stay here. I know the harvest percentage, but that I don't operate off of that kind of off the world system. I got another system that I operate off from. So if you'll listen to me, stay here. I know I told your dad where to go, but stay here. I know it looks like everybody's about to die. Stay here and just start sowing and do what I tell you.
Amen.
And so he said, you know what, God, you're right. I'm just going to have to trust you because right now the world system obviously is not working. The world system right now says that we're going to die of starvation. The world system right now, according to that whole deal, we're about to run out of toilet paper. And so everybody was like, ha, right? Everybody bought about 46 bundles of toilet paper. And people still using that toilet paper they bought back then, right? That's how much toilet paper they bought. Why? Because fear was able to tell them that lack is about to destroy you, and so you better do something about it, thinking naturally.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
But if we're not of this kingdom,
no,
sir.
If we're led by the Spirit of God, we don't have to hurry up and go buy stuff.
That's right.
We don't have to hurry up and go do something.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. All right. It says his house grew until the king was jealous. That's not just him, but everyone that was connected to him were so blessed in every area of their lives that a king became jealous.
Amen.
Amen. And then we should ask ourselves, would a king be jealous of how I'm living right now? Amen.
Amen.
But look, I'm sure he wasn't jealous at the beginning.
Amen.
Was he?
Nope.
But towards the end of it, he was like, man, well, why are you doing so awesome? You still got food, cattle, you still got all your animals and your servants are growing. What is going on?
Yeah.
But at the beginning, that's why I love how it said he sowed and he began to prosper. Then he became very prosperous and then he became really, really prosperous, right?
Amen.
It was a process. It was a day by day, just doing what God said to do. All right, I got to do this. All right, God said to do that. All right, God said to do this.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. And then we were talking about the distinguished, right? Genesis 26:13, where it talked about the distinguished right there. And the man became great and gained more and more until he became what? Very wealthy and what? Distinguished. And we read what distinguished is. Very successful, authoritative. See, the kingdom started asking him, what are you doing?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. A king
yep.
came to him.
Yeah. 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 Amen.
To find out, why are you doing better than I am?
Yeah.
And I'm a king.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Authoritative and commanding what?
Respect.
Great respect.
Yep.
Noah Webster, it means separated or known by a mark of difference. Was he known by a mark of difference?
Yes.
Obviously, because they became jealous of him.
Yep.
Because he had more than the king did.
Yes. Amen.
Well, that's just Old Testament. Well, I mean, the Word of God is written for, I mean, well, I'll say it in Ricky's lingo, because I understand that. He didn't just put words in there to fill up a Bible.
Amen.
He wrote those in there so that I'd be able to see how God would supply and multiply somebody in famine so that I know that if I ever run up against lack, I know how I can get through lack with no touch of lack on me or nothing, and where I don't have to become to lack or anything. To where I can just continually grow and to continually get higher.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Because if I'm living for God, then I should be living different and should not look like everybody else. That's just plain fact.
Yeah.
There for a long while, I looked and ran like everybody else.
Yeah.
Amen. Until I got to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Turn over to Ecclesiastes, please. We got the living, right? Yeah, pull 26, or no, not 26, 9, 13 through 18. Ecclesiastes 9, living, it says, here's another thing that has made a deep impression on me as I've watched human affairs. There was a small city with only a few people living in it, and a great king came with his army and what?
Besieged it.
There was in the city a what?
Wise man.
What does it say after the wise man?
Very poor.
Very poor. And he knew what to do to save the city. And so it was rescued. But afterwards, no one thought any more about who?
Him.
Then I realized that though wisdom is better than strength, nevertheless, if the wise man is what?
Poor.
He will be what?
Despised.
And what he says will not be what?
Appreciated.
Wow.
But even so, the quiet words of a wise man are better than the shout of a king of what? And so if we looked at the word distinguished, very successful, authoritative, and commanding great respect, separated from others by superior or extraordinary qualities, the king came to him.
Yes. Amen.
Right? First off, they got jealous and they told him to leave.
Yep.
We'll read it here in a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. But they told him to leave. But then the famine was still in the land. And so the king went back and said, hey, man, we messed up. Yeah. We're about to die. Can you please come back? So they got mad at him because he had too much, but then all of a sudden they needed him because they realized where the blessing was.
Yes.
See, if I'm a born again believer living for God, then I should be looking different.
Yes.
Not like everybody else. So people can get mad, but eventually they'll have to come back.
Yes, sir.
And so what he's talking about there, you know, the wise man, he was despised and nobody remembered him.
Yes.
Because he was poor. It's funny how if you got money, people will listen to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look at whenever the pandemic came on, I forget the one guy's name, but just because he, was it Bill Gates? Maybe said that we need to do this kind of stuff. He's not a doctor or nothing, but yet he had money. They gave him voice.
That's right.
Didn't they? Was there a poor man on there, Jesse?
No.
But just because he's got money, they allowed him to have a voice. See, the Christians kind of messed up, allowed Satan to convince us, oh, money is bad. Says who?
Yeah.
Because if money's bad, why do I use it every day?
Yeah.
If money is bad, then I should move out of my house. I should not drive a vehicle.
Right.
I should not go to restaurants. I should not go to a store, because all of that's associated with what?
Money.
So if money is evil, then I should not live off of money, period.
Right.
But I see that all of us obviously do.
Yeah.
Money ain't evil.
Amen.
What you do with it could be evil. Right? If you're not doing things for the kingdom of God or living how God asks you to live, moving on, amen, then it could be evil, right?
Amen.
But if money was so evil, then why do we use it daily?
Amen.
Right? If somebody says, well, money's just evil, ask them, well, you should probably give all your money away. That way you ain't a part of that. And then just kind of wait for the response.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, not all money's evil. Time out. Time out. You just said money was evil.
Yeah, exactly.
So is there a certain amount of money that's evil then?
Right.
And who made that standard to where if you get this much money, it's evil?
Right.
Who made the standard? I'm just curious. I'd like to know. If anybody knows, you can please tell me. Well, all right. The living out, we talked about that. Nobody listened to him, right? Amen. But let me read this to you again. Distinguished, it means very successful, authoritative, and commanding great respect. Amen. Not saying, you got to listen to me. Not that. That's being cocky and arrogant. Commanding great respect is just people know who you are. That's that. I know. I'm not sure his name, but every time he comes in here, he tips us $100.
Yeah, amen.
That's right, amen.
Amen.
I don't know who he is, but every time I see him, he's smiling and he's happy.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know why we're so happy? Because we don't have to live like everybody else.
Amen.
We might have problems like everybody else does, but the way we go through them is a lot better than the way everybody else does. Because
yes,
I can smile. If something's going on, I can smile all the way through it and enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah.
I don't have to be mad and upset about it.
Right.
I don't have to be. I can choose to be if I want to,
yes,
but I don't have to.
That's right.
Amen. All right, let's go back to Genesis 26, please. Chapter 26, verse 26 in the New King James, please. We're not doing bad today. Amen. In the New King James, then Abimelech came to him from where? Abimelech was who got mad at Isaac, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. All right. So if you haven't read all this, you should. You could after church if you want to go through it and find out it is Abimelech that was mad at Isaac, and they told him, "You need to get out of here.
Yep.
Where you got too much stuff. You're making us look bad."
Yes.
That's what they said. Y'all remember?
Yes.
All right. Me too. And then verse 26, it said, "Then Abimelech what?
Came in from Gerar.
Came to who? Isaac, say Isaac. From where?
Gerar.
From Gerar. With who?
Azusa.
One of his friends.
Yeah.
And whoever that one is, the commander of his army. I almost said Pinocchio, but I don't think that's it. You don't want me to try to say that word. I just said it in my head. It don't sound good, I'll tell you. The commander of his army. Next. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me since you what?
Hate me.
And have did what?
Send me away.
Amen. But they said, "We have certainly what?
Seen the Lord with you."
So we said, we had to come to Jesus meeting. Look, we all about to die. The guy that the blessing was on is left, and now the lack is here. What are we going to do? Which one of y'all morons told him to leave? That's what was going on. Now they're pointing fingers. Why'd you tell us to tell him to go? Now we're about to die. What are we going to do now? So we said, "Let there now be an oath between us. Please, Jesus, come back. We're about to die. Between you and us, and let us make a covenant." What? Now you want to make a covenant with me. Now you want to be a part of me.
Yes.
Now you want to hang out with me and be friends.
Yes.
Now that you've got to see the other side.
Yes.
That you will do us what?
No
harm. Now the king is afraid of him. He's afraid of him from the beginning as well. That's why he told him, "Y'all need to go out of here. Y'all making us look real bad. Y'all got too much stuff.
Yeah.
Come on.
God's blessing y'all too much. Look, y'all can't look better than me. I'm a king."
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
And do us no harm, since we have not touched you. Look, they are just really pouring it on now. Look, they're like, "Look, whenever we go in here, somebody just really needs to fall down and just kiss his feet. All right? Because we messed up. We all about to die. Somebody needs to make him happy so we don't die right now."
Yeah.
"And since we have done nothing to you." Yeah, you did. "You got mad and told us to leave the place."
Right.
"Started filling up all the wells I had."
Yeah.
Right?
That's right?
Filling up all the wells he was digging.
Yeah.
"You are now the blessed now." No, I've been the blessed. That's why y'all are still, that's why the famine is really messing y'all up now. Because I was there, the blessing was there. And so none of us starved. But you told me to leave, so the blessing went with me because it's on me.
Yes, amen. Praise God.
And so now famine's really knocking at your front door, and y'all are just, we don't know what we're going to do. We're about to die. We better go get the man that the blessing's on back.
Yes.
"You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate, and what?
Drink.
So interesting that they came back.
Yeah.
Look, we messed up. We told you to leave. We about to die. We need you back.
Yeah.
The blessing of God, a born-again believer, that's why we should not look and live like everybody else. Because whenever famine and calamity and things show up, we should be the one that they come to,
yes.
Not to whoever, not to a counselor or anybody. I'm not saying we're counselors, but we can give you what the Word of God says.
Yes.
I can tell you what the Word of God says, and you can do with it what you want. A lot of times people want to hear something that'll make them feel good about the decision they made.
Right. Yes.
And if the Word of God is contrary to that decision that they made,
right.
They don't want to hear that.
You're right.
Yes, sir.
And it's all right. We've all been there.
Yes, sir.
At some point in our life.
Amen.
Amen. So the famine started showing back up, and they realized they kicked out the one that the blessing was on, right?
Yep.
Turn over to Psalms 21:5, please. Pull it up in the Passion, or the Amplified, please. I said Proverbs. Hang on. Let me get where y'all are at, because I went to Psalms for some weird reason. Did I? Well, you should have been paying attention. Proverbs 21, please. I apologize. Proverbs 21:5. Well, that's where you told us to go. Dang, my bad. Golly. Y'all getting hangry or something? Yeah, that's fine. The thoughts of the steadily diligent tend only to what? Yeah. But everyone who is impatient and hasty hastens only to want.
Yes.
Right? Pull it up in the King James. Let's see what that says, please. I think it says kind of the same. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. The thoughts of the what?
Diligent.
Diligent tend only to plenteousness. Amen. Turn over to Jeremiah 17, please. We'll pull that up in the Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 8. Amplified. Excuse me. Thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man. That's what Abimelech was doing.
Yes.
That's why he just didn't realize that, look, you can't just do this because you're a king. Just because you think you're so big and bad. Famine will eat you alive. Unless the blessing of God is on you, you ain't going to make it. But he thought, I'm a king. We got this. Tell him to leave. Amen. It's the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his what? Thinking that you're somebody. Thinking you're somebody. Thinking me, thinking I'm somebody. It's the blessing of God on our life that's getting us to where we're going. It's got nothing to do with us. I understand that God gives each and every one of us an ability that we need to cultivate and to grow and get good at, right? But it's still from God. It's not just because you're so great and awesome. Amen. I thought that for a while and almost died. Amen. For a man making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. Amen. Let's go through 8, I think. Yeah. For he shall be like a shrub, or a person naked and destitute in the desert. And he shall not see any good come, but shall dwell in the what? In the what? Who is that? We just read it. The person that relies on man. The person that relies on man. He's going to be the one butt naked out in the desert somewhere. Not literally. People was like, oh man, I'm going to drive around the desert, see if anybody's out there. Oh my goodness. Look, I make myself laugh sometimes. And he shall not see any good come, but shall dwell in the what? In the wilderness, in a what? Salt land. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on who?
The Lord.
On who?
The Lord.
On who?
The Lord.
On who?
The Lord.
The Lord. That's who. Amen. And whose hope and confidence the Lord what?
Is.
Amen. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river. And it shall not see, amen, amen. I would make note of that. It shall not see.
Amen.
And fear what?
When he comes.
It won't fear it. It don't even have to see it. See the heat. He'll see the heat coming, but it'll just be like, oh man, that's, y'all ain't doing too good over there. All right. Spread out its roots. It shall not see in fear when heat comes. Why ain't it fearing? Because if his hope and confidence is in the Lord, it knows regardless of the situation that might be trying to present itself right now, I know where my roots are. I know I'm established where I'm at. And I know I'm going to be able to get through whatever in life is coming at me right now with ease. It's like the bamboo tree. You know, it grows for 5 years and nothing.
Yep.
But in that fifth year,
Amen.
You want to know why it grows and you don't see really anything of the bamboo tree in the first 5 years? The root is growing straight down. It's getting established.
Yes.
It's getting established so that whenever something does pop up, nothing can move it.
Yes.
So I'm going to continually grow and get my roots set out before I even try to establish anything, before I try to even go after stuff.
Amen.
And then in that fifth year, it grows 90 feet.
Yeah.
90 feet in 1 year. But it took those first 5 years to get established.
Yeah.
It took those first 5 years to get into the Word of God and realize who it is in Christ.
Yeah.
Its roots, Brother River, it shall not see and fear when heat comes. But its leaf shall what? And shall not be what? And full of care in the year of what? Nor shall it cease what? So its leaves don't, its leaves stay green. It's not anxious. It's not full of care. Well, you know, there's a food shortage coming. Well, thank God for it. Amen. Because I'm not operating like everybody else is. Amen. I got the Spirit of God living on the inside of me, leading me every single day. And so a few months ago, just get a little bit of extra food. So we did.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So whenever he lets you know something, hey, I'd go fill up today.
Yep. Yes. Amen.
Yes. Whenever something happens tomorrow, you can just drive by and go, son, look at that line I ain't got to sit in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
And whenever that does happen, it's like the best example I know of is like when we're leaving our house sometimes. And we leave our house, and we just knew we should have grabbed this certain deal, whatever it was.
Right.
Like, I should grab that, and you're like, man, it might take me a little too long to get it. I need to get to work, or I need to get to wherever I'm going. And we get to where we're going, and then all of a sudden, we need that exact deal that we were supposed to grab. See, that's the Spirit of God on the inside of you, letting you know ahead of time, hey, you're going to need this. Go ahead and grab it before you go.
Yes.
But we reason it out. Well, I'm running a little late. That's going to take me a minute. It's in the garage somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we'll reason it out and we won't grab it.
Yeah.
So whenever he tells us that, like, hey, stop and get gas. Hey, stop and do this. Hey, stop and do this. And if we start reasoning it out,
yeah.
And then whenever it comes up and we go, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Right? We're just learning, right?
Yes, sir.
But its leaves shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease what?
Yielding
fruit. So it's constantly yielding fruit then, right?
Yes.
And this right here actually happened during an economic downturn.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. You ought to read it and study it out. In verse 8 where it talks about green, right there where it says, but its leaf shall be green.
Yeah.
You look that up in the Hebrew and it means to flourish.
Yes.
To flourish.
Yes.
To flourish. And you look up flourish, it means to prosper and or grow.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Can you pull that up in the Message, verse 8? Just verse 8, please. But blessed is the man who trusts me, God, the woman who sticks with God. They're like what?
Replanted.
They're like trees replanted.
Yes, amen.
Whenever you come into the kingdom of God, you get unplanted from the world system.
Yes.
And replanted into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so now we operate on a whole nother level than everybody else does.
Yes.
Replanted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers. Never a worry, what?
The hottest
never dropping a leaf.
Amen.
Dropping a leaf.
Amen.
Amen. Serene and calm through what?
Droughts.
Through droughts. Through droughts.
Yeah.
Not a care in the world.
Amen.
Isn't upset because their package ain't going to be here till whenever.
Right.
Isn't upset because they say there's the gas prices or whatever. Ain't upset about nothing.
That's right.
Why? Because whenever you get established in the Word of God, the things of the world just... That's fine. I'll be fine all the way through this, regardless of what everybody else looks like. If I'm a part of the world, then I should be worried and scared because I don't know how I'm going to make it through it.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know about a pandemic. I don't know. I might need to get it. I might not need to get this.
Yeah.
But when we operating in the kingdom of God, we know exactly how we're going to be every single day.
Every day.
Serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit, what? Every season. Amen. Real fast, go over to Psalms 9, please. And then I'll be done because if we get into that other one, we'll be here for a little bit. Psalms 9:9 in the Amplified, please. And that is Psalms 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge and a high tower for what?
Rest.
Amen. A refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble, high cost, destitution, and what?
Desperation.
And desperation. Amen. He's our high tower. That resembles you can get over and above whatever is going on.
Yes.
Amen. You can always see what's coming from a high tower.
Yes, amen.
And it's the most defensive place to be.
Yes.
Right? You know, in the military, they told us you never fight uphill.
Right.
Because they got a better position because you're trying to climb the hill and all they got to do is just sit there and shoot down.
Yes,
that's
sir.
It.
Yes,
amen. They got the better position. So if God is our strong tower, right, our high tower, we don't have to worry. That means we're sitting above everything else that's just going on. All the calamity, all the worry everybody's seeing shouldn't affect us because we operate in a different kingdom. We don't operate in the world's kingdom, right? I know we live here every single day and we have to, you know, be human.
Right.
Don't get all crazy spiritual. Should have heard a better amen than that.
Amen.
You know, don't get all crazy because we have to operate here, but things should not affect us like they do everybody else. That's the thing, right?
Yes.
Amen. Well, I think I'm going to stop. Amen. Because, like I said, if we get into this other one, we might be here for a little bit. Amen. Well, did y'all get anything out of that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You want to?